Hey everybody. Oh god, my voice. Sleepy, weird voice, huh? Well, it's 3 in the afternoon. Of course I'm asleep. Back to the street, 3 in the afternoon. Your eyes are the size of the disco. Panic at the Disco. Hey everybody, Panic at the Disco, huh? So, here I am, rocking you like a hurricane, leaving the airport, coming back from Portland, airport. In about 10 days, I am doing this thing. I signed up to do a thing. It's like a storytelling event. So, you know, like one of your, the moths type things, one of your, are we all familiar with this sort of thing, right? Where it's like a live storytelling event. I feel like we all kind of know what this is, right? So it's like 10 minutes and it's on a theme, and the theme that I have is date night. So I got contacted by someone I knew through a friend of the show, Val, but also through college. And, hold on, I gotta pay for my parking. Okay, I'm back. Storytelling event. And so that's what I'm supposed to do, like, in 10 days. And I've got my basic thing going. I've got kind of what I'm gonna talk about. And so what I decided to do is, you know, I'm supposed to sort of do this with, like, no notes would be great. Minimal notes is totally acceptable. And, but, you know, he was like, hey, you know, we mostly don't want you to do it, like, verbatim off a script. But also, if you did that, it's not like you'd get kicked off stage or something. So, you know, it's kind of just, that's what it is. So, I've been thinking about what I wanted to talk about. And, I thought what I would do right now is kind of an abbreviated version, if we can call it that. A sort of like a, not an abbreviated, that would mean shorter, right? A more freeform version, because I'm going to have about 10 minutes, and I don't want to go over 10 minutes, really. So I'm going to try and just keep it definitely a lot shorter at the thing, but for now, it can be a lot longer, and I guess I'm just trying out material, even though I'm not trying it out in front of a crowd, which is the traditional way? Should we call it that? It's not the normal way to do this, but I'm going to do it that way. So here we go. So me and Cassie had our first date, and it was a bad date. It was a bad date in a lot of ways that a date can be a bad date. I just moved from a two-bedroom apartment into a studio apartment, and she came over to watch a movie. And she came over to watch a movie, and I had no couch, so I just kind of made one up on the floor. I had a couch at my old apartment, and that was a much bigger two-bedroom affair that I had to abandon. And I also had to abandon the couch, but it was not a big deal. It was just this super huge sectional couch that used to belong to my high school principal, which, like, let's not even get into that. That's a long story. But the point is, I didn't have a couch. And so she came over and sat on the floor to watch a movie about when, you know, birds attack, basically. And if you are familiar with one movie about when birds attack, it's not the one you're thinking of. The one we watched is this movie called Birdemic. And Birdemic shares in common with the birds, I guess, the fact that birds are trying to kill people. They seem to go crazy for no real reason and just, you know, attack people. That's pretty much where the similarities end. So in that way, you know, if the one-sentence premise of a movie is enough to make it like another movie, I mean, I guess, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street is pretty much like Citizen Kane. Something happened before and, you know, somebody's trying to sort of reclaim that part of their life. The end. So it was, we get general enough, any two movies are related. But, I mean, that's as good as I can do as far as relating these two movies. Because Birdemic is like The Birds. But, like, imagine whoever made it had no idea about filmmaking. And, like, also doesn't seem to know a lot about birds. Because the birds get crazy and angry. And that somehow gives them special abilities, like the ability to vomit acid on people and melt people. And also, like, they turn into sort of kamikaze grenades. Like, anything they crash into, just, they explode, you know, or blow up a guy. Like, if a bird, if you were standing there and a bird crashed into you, all that'd be left is your boots. Just standing there smoking. That's what we're talking about here. Also, like, birds in this movie know how to hover, which I don't think many birds can do. I think a hummingbird can hover, but I don't know if most birds can hover. I think they can kind of, like, ride an air current and not really move forwards or backwards and appear to be hovering. But I don't think in a still environment most birds can, like, stay like a helicopter, right? Like, you know, I think that bird flight is closer to airplane flight than helicopter flight, is it not? I think bees are like a helicopter. Anyway, that's a lot of shit you didn't need to hear. Also, Birdemic has this sort of environmental message wedged in there, and, like, don't get me wrong, I'm all for the environment and all that, but it's weird in the middle of this movie that you're watching and you're kind of waiting for the birds to get, you know, murderous. And there's just this part where a guy goes over to another guy's house and gives him, like, a consultation as far as, like, here's what it would cost to put solar panels up in your house. Which I think is a strange thing to have just in your movie about killer birds, but that's fine, right? I mean, what are you going to do? So we have that in addition to everything else. So we watched this terrible movie, and we watched it in not ideal conditions. And to be honest, I was embarrassed because, like, you know, I'm an adult and I'm living in this studio. I downgraded from a 2-bedroom to a studio apartment for, you know, money reasons, which money reasons being money. And I wouldn't say, and then watching that movie, in no way would I say I had put my best foot forward, right? In no way would I say, well, this is me. You know, on those cooking shows, they're like, this is me on a plate. I would not want someone to have that experience with me and be like, this is me on a date. Like, this is basically what I have to offer. But it turns out that that's pretty accurate. Because, so after that, we went on quite a few more, like, dates. So it wasn't our last date. That was fortunate. Sorry, there's a guy behind me in a Cadillac, definitely using a bike or shoulder lane as a lane. And that just makes me crazy because I'm like, can you not tell that this lane is significantly smaller than other lanes? I mean, are you wondering why, like, my car really doesn't fit in this lane and it's not super wide? Oh my God. Okay. Now we're in the traffic zone. Okay. Anyway, hopefully I won't be driving while I do this. This guy is a Lyft driver, and he's, like, trying to get, like, right on my ass and sneaking in and stuff, and I'm just like, there is nowhere to go. Anyway, so we had this bad date, but we had many more bad dates, which I guess doesn't sound so great, but it was pretty great. You know, and here's the thing, like, you watch a Birdemic, okay? We've watched a lot of movies together, and I don't really remember a lot of them. I remember that movie. Because it was terrible, you know, and it was so outlandishly bad and so weird that you can't forget it. And we had more dates that kind of went the same way. For example, we had our birthdays. We had a birthday where I nearly died because we went and visited a cat rescue. And I must have touched my face at some point because I was just... we got home. I basically came down with what was like a 24-hour cold except over a period of 4 hours. It was all crammed in there. So according to my calculations, like 6 times a cold for 4 hours. I think I was asleep on the floor at, 8:30 that night. There was a birthday where she made herself sick. She had an as of yet unrecognized lactose intolerance, and she made me this really good mac and cheese that, of course, had, like, heavy cream in it. So she got sick that time. There's another one of her birthdays where we were headed out to dinner, and I went by her car, and I saw a mouse run across the seat inside her car, and I was like, oh, boy. You know, and debating, like, should I say something or should I just wait? And I was like, no, I gotta say something. And so we spent the night, you know, we went to the car wash and we, like, vacuumed out her car and, you know, went back and forth trying to decide, like, because, you know, at first it was like we found this bag of chips that was wrapped up in a blanket in the back of her car. It just kind of, you know, how shit gets in the car. And it was like, well, obviously that's what a mouse wants. Like, it was perfect. And there was, you know, mouse poop everywhere, and it was just like, yeah, I mean, a blanket and a bag of chips, you couldn't really create a better home for a mouse. But then we also discovered that somebody, me this time, had dropped a bag of chocolate coins under the seat in the passenger side. It was weird because, like, I don't know exactly how I got this bag of chocolate coins. It must have been, like, a Christmas thing or something. It was something I got that I didn't want. And, like, I didn't want to eat the chocolate because that chocolate's always terrible. And the coins are always, like, melt. It's weird. And so, you know, obviously I didn't want this. But it's not like I shoved it under the seat to forget about it. It's like I just got in the car and I must have had it. It fell under the seat or in the crack or something. And I just forgot because it had no value to me. So, like, as soon as it was out of my sight, it was gone. Like, if you want to give me something like that and I want to make sure to throw it away, I need to either throw it away immediately, which probably wasn't an option if this was, like, a present, or I need to, attach it to my body so that, it must be thrown away. It has to happen. So, it was an unknown exactly how this mouse got in there or why, but overall, the result was, we missed the dinner deadline for places in town that were open and didn't go out to dinner for her birthday and instead vacuumed out a car and tried to oust a mouse. We're mouse ousting. It's like Ghostbusters, mouse ousters. We had some medical dates. There was the time that, I went in for, we went together for an ultrasound, which usually is, that's something a lot of couples experience. But usually the ultrasound is not of the guy's parts. But I will tell you, you still hear a heartbeat, so that's something that's similar. She also drove me to my colonoscopy, the highlight of which was on the way home. I asked if there was such a color as neon gray, which I guess part of me is like, is silver neon gray? Is that basically the same thing? I don't know. We may have invented neon gray before we really knew about neon other colors. But I can't verify this for sure. I'm not an expert. We went on enough dates that eventually we moved in together. And moving in together, like, we moved in, and that was bad in some ways. The place we moved into, like, you picture moving in together, and you picture, like, oh, it's going to be this beautiful little place, and you'll, I'll carry her over the threshold, and, yeah, and it'll just be great. It'll be our little, quaint little house and whatever. But you don't picture stuff like, we get in there and, like, under the sink, there's, like, a cabinet under the sink that's built into the wall. And underneath that, there's space. And there were two pairs of old underwear that had gotten shoved under there. One men's, one women's. There was a room that just stank of dog pee. Like, I don't know if they were keeping a dog in there or just keeping its urine in there. But either way, there was a dog pee issue in this room. And then, there's black sludge in the pipes under the sink. And we had one of those sprayers on the side of the sink. And that was just like a black sludge plug. Because it was like, I couldn't figure out why this thing wasn't working right. And then I, like, pulled it out and was like, oh my god, this is completely plugged with, like, it looks like the sprayer, as opposed to the rest of the pipes, went straight to a lake, like a pond, a stagnant pond, and it was trying to pump Swamp Thing through it. You know, Swamp Thing was doing his thing where he goes through the pipes or some shit. But we moved in together. It kind of worked. We made it work. And when I moved in with Cassie, I also moved in with Sicily, the cat. And I didn't really know much about cats, you know, and that didn't go great either because I was allergic. But I tried. You know, I was trying to make it work, and, like, I was trying to befriend the cat. But, you know, and I would play with the cat, but we were never, like, super close. We were never real cuddly, right? And, like, we would play together a lot. I would play chase with the cat. These are the kind of things. It was kind of like, you know, if she was mom and I was dad, there were, like, dad things that we did together and mom things that they did together, and never the twain shall meet. And it would be like I'd come home and they'd be cuddling together. It was almost like the cat was embarrassed to be caught cuddling with Cassie. Like, it would get up and, you know, walk over, or, like, get up and do its, like, aloof thing again. And I was like, I saw you sitting on her chest, you know, 2 inches from her face. And both of you seemed fine with it until I came home. I don't know how long you've been like that, but I'm guessing, like, an hour. And based on the Netflix situation here, I'm guessing it was, like, an hour at least. But so, like, at some point I thought, oh, and I was always trying to give the cat a job. Like, I thought Sicily could be, you know, dogs, right? Like, it seems like dogs are happy when they're useful. Like, if a dog is at your house, but, you know, a dog that, like, sniffs out drugs at the airport. Like, you see it, and it's always kind of, like, prancing around, smelling stuff. It looks happy. Maybe it's stressed out, but I kind of doubt it. I think that dogs like to be useful and like to be engaged in shit. And, like, basically, a dog that does a job like that, right, is, like, walking all day. And that dog doesn't fucking know, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to smell out drugs. And then, you know, unfortunately, then I'll be caught up in a situation where it's like, I mean, this poor guy that I'm busting is just a cog in the wheels. You know what I mean? Like, he's not really the big wheel that we want to catch. But, you know, this is the problematic nature of the war on drugs. And, like, a dog doesn't know any of that shit, right? A dog is just like, hey, this is kind of what I do all day, and it's cool. Like, I know no different. And they don't know that there's, like, a consequence, right? And so I kind of thought the cat might be happy that way, too, so I gave her a job, which was, like, I wanted her to identify insects that were in the house. She didn't have to kill them. You know, she didn't have to smash a spider herself. But if she kind of, like, directed our attention towards them, even just by staring at it, I was fine with that, right? And every time she did it, I gave her a quarter. And then, but, you know, then I had to punish her sometimes because there'd be a spider, like, right next to her food bowl that she completely ignored. And then I'd be like, well, now I got to take a quarter away because, like, you're laying down on the job here. And, you know, I guess I never really... I mean, the cat obviously doesn't understand making a wage. And even if she had made a wage, I don't know what I would have bought her, but probably what I would have bought her is what I ended up buying anyway. Because Cassie goes on vacation. So it's like the first, you know, weekend that me and Sicily are home alone for like 3 or 4 days. And I decide to get her this thing because I'm like, I'm going to win over this cat. And also, you know, part of that is like, I'm going to win over this cat and thereby win over Cassie, because these two are, like, real attached and in love. Seems like a perfect solution, right? And Sicily likes to drink from the drain or the faucet or whatever, like most cats. So I got her this fountain. And, like, if you've never seen a cat fountain, it's kind of like, imagine a dog bowl, and then on the back of it, it's got this, you know, part that rises up and just dribbles the water into the dog bowl. And it's like, it's not huge. It's not like a crazy fountain with like a little angel, naked angel boy peeing into the water or something. It's just kind of a no-nonsense plastic thing that sits in the kitchen and makes it sound like someone's, you know, just kind of constantly but quietly urinating in your kitchen. Which is apparently something that cats really enjoy. So I get this fucking thing. It takes me an embarrassing amount of time to put it together because it was like, you know, some assembly required, and then you get it and you're like, what the hell? Like, I don't know what these parts are. I've never assembled anything remotely like this. I mean, I've done okay. I've put together some furniture. You know, when Cassie and I moved in together, we put a couch together a little bit before that. We went to IKEA. She also got me this rug. And it's this rug that kind of, it's like this white fur rug. It's like a fake animal fur. Like if you killed a baby polar bear and took its fur, but it was real shaggy. Or maybe it's like if you took off the bottom half of Santa's face and made it into a rug, it would kind of look like this. And she bought it to me, to take to work. Because it was like a bad rug. I mean, it's like something Austin Powers would have, right? It's like something Austin Powers would put in front of a fireplace, except small. And so she was like, oh, take this to work. You'll make your office real classy. But it totally backfired because then we moved in together and the cat fucking loved this thing, right? Like, this was her favorite thing to lay on. So not only did I not take it to work and, you know, have to be embarrassed about that, but then the cat loved it, and so then it belonged to the family. It was like a family rug now, and she couldn't get rid of it because Cicely loved it too much. I mean, if it was in a room, wherever it was in the room, that's where she would lay down. Right on top of it. So anyway, I put this fountain together. You know, putting a rug together was a lot easier than putting this fucking fountain together. But I put it together, I set it up, and, you know, I plug it in, and sure enough, like, water starts pouring out of it. And I was like, this is awesome. Like, look at this. I did it. It works. She's gonna love it. So I set it up in the kitchen and then kind of, like, go sit on the other side of the counter. And, like, I'm watching Cicely. She kind of walks up to it, not, like, cautiously, just kind of casually walks over, gives it, like, a 1-2 sniff, and then just keeps walking. And, you know, I'm like, damn it. And I'm experiencing the thing that cat owners experience a lot, which is, like, you get something for your cat like this, and they don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? They could care less about the effort you took to buy this. They don't understand. Like I said, they don't understand jobs. So they don't understand that I went to a job. And, you know, this is like a couple hours worth of wage of work. And then also the work of putting it together and then having it in the kitchen. And also now I have, like, someone quietly urinating in my kitchen all the time. They have no respect. It's not like when I had those chocolate coins and I had the minimal amount of respect to just let them slip under a seat in a car and attract a mouse rather than just throw them out immediately, right? So all this is running through my head, and then I'm kind of sitting on the couch and I hear sort of an interruption of the pee stream in the kitchen. So I look and she's drinking, and I'm like, yeah, I did it. Like, this is working. It's success. You know, it took a few minutes, but we're all good. And then I'm gloating in my head, right, about how smart I am and how great. And then, you know, I'm still gloating, and like I kind of run out of gloats before she's done drinking. And I don't know what a normal amount is for a cat her size. She is a small cat. And for a cat her size, I don't know what the normal drinking amount is. But I now know what more than the normal amount is, because she drank and drank and promptly threw up all over the floor. She was so excited about this fountain that she hurled. And that was, you know, that was our date night. That was kind of our first bad date that we had together. So then, you know, you might think, like, Cassie and I move in together and, you know, we settle into our ways, we settle down, and we stop having these bad date nights, right? But no worries, because we still had many a bad date left in us. Probably one of our classic ones that we talk about that's hard to explain is we went on a date to a gas station. Well, we didn't go on a date to a gas station. We went out to have coffee. And we get to the coffee shop and we're sitting in the parking lot. And I'm going to have to embarrassingly admit that sometimes I'm pretty low energy. And when I say low energy right now, I mean like mega, mega low energy. Megalomaniacal energy. Because like I'm sitting in the car. I had just driven to the coffee shop, and it had taken like all the energy I had just to get there. And I was like working up the energy, the gumption, to like get out of the car and go inside the coffee shop. You guys, I'm waiting for a truck cut me off and was driving super slow. Now I'm waiting for it to make a left turn. And when we turn onto the road, we're going to be behind a tractor that's going slow as shit. And also, there's a train crossing up ahead. Like, this is like every slow thing that can happen is happening at once. This is the perfect storm. By the way, wouldn't the perfect storm be one where it was like, oh, it was the perfect storm. We missed it completely, and it caused a bunch of crabs to be washed to where we were. Or salmon, or whatever they were going after. Not the one that, like, killed everybody. So we're at this coffee shop, and I'm just, like, mustering up the energy to go inside. And that's, like, a pretty low-energy day for me. I mean, there's nothing preventing me physically or anything. I'm able-bodied and everything. It's just like, you know those Sunday afternoons when you just don't feel like it's worth getting up? I guess like that day, I felt like it was worth getting up out of bed that morning, but then I'd kind of put myself in this position for a second get up and was like, no, I don't think so. I don't think so, Tim. So we're just sitting there, and we're facing towards this gas station, which is like a pretty busy gas station. I mean, that was like kind of the first thing that struck both of us was like, man, this is like a really hopping gas station. Some people go out to busy clubs. We went out to a busy gas station. And we're watching people there, and it's bizarre. Like, what is happening is really strange. Okay, like, we see this lady pull in with a, you know, huge SUV, and she puts the nozzle in her car and squeezes the trigger and must put in what couldn't be 50 cents a gas into her car. Reholsters the gun, puts the cap on, takes off. And it's just like, you're sitting there and we're kind of looking at each other and I'm like, why would you do that? I mean, wouldn't that 50 cents a gas, wouldn't she have been better off just staying on the road rather than pulling off into this gas station, putting in that much gas and then leaving? I mean, what was that? But then if you start asking what was that at the gas station, you'll be asking it all day. Because, like, you know, then I watch some guy fill up his gas tank while he's, like, straddling the hose. You know, he's got the gas nozzle in between his legs and, like, inserted in the car. Like, he's holding it with his legs. It was weird. And, like, I've seen some alternative ways to fill up a gas tank, I suppose, but I've never really remarked on them. I mean, seems to me it's like left hand, right hand. If you're getting crazy, maybe you go behind the back or something, but this guy was doing it between... I mean, I don't have to tell you what that looked like. You can paint that picture for yourself, but just like suffice to say, it looked like he was having a much more action-packed date than I was at that point. You know, we saw a guy pull into this gas station, and he was there at the gas pump. He puts the gas pump in, and then he's just like gets back in his car, and he's sitting there. He was there easily 35 minutes. And this was part of what kept us waiting, too, because it was like, what is this guy going to do? Like, how long is this guy going to be here? When is he going to leave? What is going on? Is he going to leave via tow truck? Because that's the only thing that would make sense, is if that happened. So this is what's happening. We're watching all this shit. And we never even went inside to the coffee shop. We just sat there. We watched people at the gas station for probably an hour. And then we took off. And never went inside. I mean, that is a pretty bad date. Imagine you're on your OkCupid, your Tinder, your whatever. And someone's like, let's just go to the gas station and sit and watch people. And not even a nice gas station. This isn't even like a nice come and go where everything's clean and bright and like the employees there wear a tie for some reason. This is like a horrible gas station. There's no inside store. There's no internal part of this gas station. It is just a place to get gas, period. And firewood, because for some reason they're like, yeah, I mean, people need firewood all the time. So this was a terrible date. So we did kind of, our terrible dates were a little curtailed because Cassie moved to Oregon last year. But I did squeeze in before they left one last bad date with Sicily. Because, so it was last year, it was Halloween. And Cassie was gone because she was moving her stuff out there. And I was watching Sicily at my place. So I'm sitting around, minding my biz. And I'm going to a volleyball game. I play on a rec volleyball team. And if you want to know how good we are, I just explain it like this. I went to our game last year around Halloween in a hot dog costume. And begged everyone else on the team to dress up. And most of them did. There were a couple people who didn't, but most of our team was like, all right, I'm game. So we're all dressed up in Halloween costumes, and we lose the game terribly. But actually, you know, you'd think it might be like, oh, that we could blame it on range of movement or something, but we just suck. So I put on this hot dog costume, and then I'm sitting on the couch because I got ready a little early. This is like a hallmark of living life, a lonely life, which I've, you know, since figured out, which is like, you're kind of like ready early for a lot of shit. And you have awkward amounts of time to fill. You got like 8 minutes to kill before you have to leave. And you're in a hot dog costume. So you just sit on the couch and you're just like, I guess I'll just sit on the couch in a hot dog costume and think about my life. If you ever want to have a real bad time, that's a high recommendation from me. I know it sounds bizarre and specific, but give it a shot. So that's what I'm doing. And all of a sudden, like, Sicily comes out of nowhere, and she jumps right in my lap. Now, this is weird because, like I said, you know, we're not real cuddly. Like, that's not our relationship. But something about me being in this hot dog costume, she just wanted to sit in my lap so bad. Like, I had to get up, and I got up, you know, and she was all grumbling about it. And then I just for the sake of experimenting, I sat back down again, and she jumped right back in my lap. So me, Pete, dressed normal, you know, sitting on the couch, no interest. You know, me with a book, laying in bed, no interest in that. Me in a hot dog costume, sitting on the couch, lamenting that my life is terrible. That is the ideal thing for her to sit on. Like, those are the perfect conditions to create a seating spot for Sicily. So, you know, if you ever needed to know, that's how to do it. That is how to do it. So then, you know, Cassie came back for the rest of her stuff, including Sicily. I drove her out to Oregon. We drove out all three of us together, and I flew back. And so I was headed out there in December for Cassie's birthday. And, shortly before I go out, you know, Sicily wasn't feeling too good. And Cassie took her to the vet, and they sent her home, but then they brought her back again, and, she was gonna stay overnight at the vet's and all this stuff, right? So I was set to leave on, like, a Friday, and this is probably on a Tuesday. And so I was like, you know, I'm going to try and get out there. I got out there like 2 days early to try and, you know, just help out and reassure, do the boyfriend stuff, right? And I'm flying out there with Cassie's presents for her birthday. And I was like, you know, it'll be fine. Like, Sicily will be fine. And then we'll celebrate your birthday. And everything will be fun. You know, it'll be good. We're going to have a fun day in Portland. It'll just be great. Probably, I don't know, 24 hours later, I'm there. And we're both in the vet's office, and we had to let Sicily go. And we're standing, you know, they usher us out of the back exit of the vet's office because, you know, that's how much of a mess we both are. And we're just crying in this parking lot, you know, next to a dumpster, and just kind of in disbelief about everything. You know what I mean? And I'm hugging Cassie, and we're both crying, and she just said this thing that completely broke my heart. And what she said was, "Do you think she knew?" And I said, "Do I think she knew what?" And Cassie said that we loved her. And it was such, it's a completely ridiculous question, right? Because obviously, if a cat ever knew that it was loved, it was that cat. You know, it's like we're getting her fountains. Cassie's cuddling with her every day, multiple times a day. You know what I mean? And they're like together all the time. I mean, they're in the shower together. They're, you know, it was her little shadow. And they just spent so much time together and were so affectionate to each other. And I did my part. I bought the fountain. I wore the hot dog costume. I kept the hot dog costume because I was like, well, she likes it. So whatever. Maybe this can be the Sicily and Pete costume. She said this and my mind is flashing to, you know, it's Cassie's birthday like 2 days later. And my mind flashes to the presents I got her, which are these. One, I got her a necklace, which is shaped like a sound wave. So you could send into this company a sound and they turn it into, you know, a waveform and make a necklace out of it. And the sound that I sent in was of Sicily's meow. So it's like a visual representation of the sound of Sicily meowing. Two, it's a matching collar and bracelet set. So Cassie gets a bracelet, Sicily gets a collar, and it's, you know, they say best friends on it. And three is it's a pillow that's the size and shape of Sicily with Sicily's, you know, photo screen printed on the front. So basically it's a stuffed animal Sicily. These are the three things that I got Cassie for her birthday. 3 days before Sicily died. This is pretty well set up to be our worst bad date of all time. I mean, forget sitting at the gas station. Like, this is actively bad. And all I could think to do was just lean into it and accept it. And we talked about it a lot, and, you know, the thing is, when you've got something like a relationship with a cat, right? And the cat dies, part of what's hard about it is that it doesn't feel like a cat's life means a lot. You know, most of the world doesn't know about this cat. I mean, it's not like this cat is somebody that people know and that they're consoling you. And you're not going to, like, go into a, you know, a city square and see a statue of your cat and they're like, we're so sorry you lost your cat, right? Like, you're pretty much on your own. You're on your own in your grief and you're on your own in figuring out, you know, how much this cat's life mattered. And we wanted to make it matter more. Like, we wanted it to be noticed. So something that Sicily did a lot was spread her cat litter around. Like, it would get stuck in her toes, and it was just all over the floor. Like, we moved in together, it was all over the floor in our house. She spent, you know, 4 or 5 days with me, you know, from the hot dog costume time. And there must have been, I mean, there's litter everywhere. Everywhere in my apartment there was litter. I still find it to this day, right? And so we decided, we went and we filled up these two little Ziploc bags full of cat litter. And so we get on the train, and we basically just stop at places that we think she would like and spread some litter around. Or, you know, places that we think are interesting, or places where we just, you know, we wish she would have seen, or where we wish she would have been seen, you know? Just leave a couple on the train. You leave a couple here and there. I, you know, found a water fountain downtown. I leave a couple by that. And the ultimate goal was to end up at IKEA, because that's where all our furniture was from, you know, the couch we eventually bought together. We put together. And, you know, the bed that I had, I mean, I put some litter pebbles under the bed because it was like, that's where she went when the Mexican polka music was so loud across the street that it was rattling the house. And, you know, we found this bin full of those little white rugs and put some in there. And this is what we did. And you know, it wasn't exactly like I had expected or like I'd hoped, because, you know, you come up with an idea and then you think, like, it'll be so cathartic and I'll feel better and everything's going to be different. You know, I'll feel this great weight lifted off of me because we've found a way to sort of honor her memory and spread her memory a little more. Like, even if one person just notices, like, what is this, you know, and doesn't even know it's cat litter, but just notices this little pebble. And it's like, okay, so by, in a way, they're noticing Cicely, right? And they don't know it, but I know it. And Cassie knows it. And Cicely knows it. And, you know, it was a way for us to show we loved her. Even if she didn't know, for us to know that we loved her. That was probably the worst date ever. I mean, the emotion of it, everything about it. But just also look at it like the gas station, right? I mean, if someone told you, like, hey, we're going to sit outside a gas station and watch stuff, see what happens, get, you know, buckle up, obviously you're going to be like, fuck that, no way. What if somebody told you, like, I'm going to give you, here's a bag of cat litter, let's just spread that around? I mean, not, probably not a huge draw for most of us, right? But we did it. And the thing is, I think what worked about it is it was so bad that we remember. And I'll remember that forever. You know, I'll remember that we did something, and I'll remember Cicely. Because I'll remember that she left her litter everywhere, and I'll remember all of this. And when I think about these bad dates, what's so great about them is that I remember all of them. You know, I remember going to the gas station. I remember moving into the house and finding these pairs of underwear and cleaning out underneath the sink. And I remember Birdemic. And I could probably count on, you know, one hand the number of dates I remember that were just kind of normal, nice dinners out, right? I could probably count those on one hand even if I lost a couple fingers to, like, a homicidal bird. But I can remember all the bad dates we've had. And our bad dates aren't over. We're still dating, and we're still having bad dates. You know, over Skype, we had a date where we tried to see who had the longest run of pennies by year. So the longest, you know, years in a row going back to. I think we got as far back as the 60s or the 50s, just with pennies on hand. Cassie won. I know you were on the edge of your seat wondering who won that contest. I went out and visited her, and we just went on a date, which ended the night, ended with, we were waiting for a train that had to pass us by with no one on it because someone had hurled all over inside the train. And then the next train came, and also had someone had puked in that train too. Probably the same assailant, but difficult to say. But it seems like the odds are good that it was the same assailant. But what are the odds of, you know, getting on a train on a Monday night at, 8 o'clock, and someone's puked in both cars, right? So we're not done having bad dates. And I guess the thing I want to say about it is, don't be afraid to have a bad date. Because you will remember a bad date. And you'll build this whole, you know, you'll build a whole series of memories out of bad dates. If you have bad times together, when you have a bad flight, when you have a bad hotel, you're going to remember that stuff. And you build that whole history. And the thing is, when you're by yourself, you know, when your girlfriend moves to Portland, Oregon, which I know you're all saying that would never happen to me, but trust me, that's what I thought too. And when that happens, all you really got left is those memories. And you want to have some strong ones. Even if they're not good ones, you want to have some strong ones. And the only other thing I want to say is, I don't want to apologize, but if you bought something from IKEA in Portland, Oregon last December, and there was kitty litter in it, just know that it was clean.